Let's go into the word this evening. Thank you, Father, for your spirit of liberality that you've bestowed upon us by your work of redemption. Thank you, Father, for that great spirit. Thank you, Father, for that glorious and great work. We've come together to study the word this evening once again. We declare and decree that there is accuracy and precision as the word of truth is taught this evening. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. We receive the truth of God's word with simplicity. We decree that our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. And we decree that when the truth confronts us and stares us in the face, we decree that we are humble enough to receive God's word this evening. At the end of this meeting as saints, we are all edified and Christ alone is glorified. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Paul writing to his son Timothy saying, study to show thyself as approved of God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, that word there, study, is the word that means being eager, being diligent, having an attitude of researchful reading and study. Yeah, it's like a word you can say, be in haste. Being a haste, you know, is the word that means labor. Labor. Yes, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, Paul is admonishing Timothy in the midst of false teachers to have a disposition of rightly dividing scriptures anytime he has the privilege to do so. Yeah, and we see that in the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 15, 16, it says that from a child, that is spiritual infant, yeah, since you became born again, you have known the Holy Scriptures. That is Paul talking to Timothy again. You've known the Holy Scriptures. These scriptures are able, they have an ability to make you wise unto what? Beautiful, unto salvation. The scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And all these scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation, they've been specifically given by inspiration. They are given by inspiration. They are profitable. They have an advantage. They are profitable for teaching. Yeah, is that true? Yeah, teaching, which is doctrine. Another one, in doctrine, what do we have? Is that what? Reprove. What's the word there? Reprove. Evidence, assurance. Yeah. In evidence and assurance, what do we have? Correction, which is to rectify, to straighten up a thought pattern. Yeah. And in after correction, what do we have? Training in righteousness. Yeah. Training, which is instruction in righteousness. Is that true? Yeah, so scriptures are given for instruction in righteousness. Yeah, so this month we've been dealing with investigating scriptures. On today's episode of this teaching, we'll be dealing with, we'll be giving an introduction to baptism. Remember, we are teaching about what we call the sacred cows. Yeah, those sacred cows, those ideologies or thoughts or traditions that have been passed down from generation to generation that people think cannot be explained or people think should not be questioned. Are we together? Yeah, sacred cows, that's what we're dealing with. Last week we started by giving a broad overview of what religion is and what religion has cost, you know, over time. Last week you also saw that Jesus taught from scriptures from Luke 24, 24 to 25, 26, 27. Yeah, scriptures being Genesis to Malachi. We see that Jesus confirmed from Genesis 24, verse 44, that he taught from the writings of the Psalms, the prophets, and the law of who? The law of who? The law of Moses. Yeah, so Jesus taught from the law of Moses. So Jesus taught from scriptures. We also see that Paul taught from scriptures. We saw Apostle Paul. We saw Apostle Peter. They all taught from scriptures. Yeah, we ended our meeting last week on Colossians 2 verse 16. Yeah, quickly run there. Colossians chapter 2 verse 16. Colossians chapter 2 verse 16. Colossians is after Philippians, right? Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon, forgive me, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is what? Christ, yeah, we saw also in Matthew 15, 17, talking about the doctrines of men. Yeah, so Paul was writing that we should not, the things or practices that serve as shadow, they have their fullness, which is the body, which is who? Christ. So we see some traditional practices pointing to Christ. I remember last week we emphasized on the fact that when we see the reality, we do not focus on the shadow. Is that true? Yeah, a man cannot walk up to you and come and be talking to you, and he's talking to you, you are replying in shadow. Yeah, does that make sense? It doesn't make sense, right? I can't come and talk to you, I just have you to look me eyeball to eyeball, you are replying my shadow. Yeah, so now we are in a generation right now where misconstructions or misunderstanding of certain scriptures would show us that we practice lots of things that we practice in the Bible, but it's unfortunate that we practice some but don't practice all. Yeah, we practice some, but don't practice all. You know, Paul, James, we say in the book of James chapter 2, he that offends in the law, in one, yeah, offends in what? In all. What does that mean? If you offend in one, you offend in all. If you offend in one, you offend in all. So, if you are practicing one of the laws, you know, we've established that Jesus was not, or God wasn't the one that gave the commandments to the people of Israel. Yeah, but we have not done an explicit teaching on that. Yeah, Moses gave them the law. James, John chapter 1, 16, 17, 18 shows us that the law was given by Moses. Yeah, God did not give a law to Moses to give the Israelites. Why was this law? Why did Moses give the law? Because of the hardness of their hearts. Yeah, because the Israelites had a hard heart. God's law, God's idea from time has been that big picture of Christ. Yeah, so it wasn't that the Israelites caught God unawares and he just said, okay, let me give you the law. No, Moses gave them the law because of the hardness of their heart. Yeah, so there were lots of practices that Moses gave that it will only be right for us to follow all of them if we are following one. One of them is Deuteronomy 22 verse 5. Thou shalt not wear what pertains to a woman and pertains to a man. You know, is it not interesting that a lot of people only pick the part of women and don't pick the part of men? Yeah, so thou shalt not wear what pertains to a woman. A woman shall not wear what pertains to a man. We don't continue. But that verse still continues and say, a man should not wear what pertains to a woman. So the question will now be, what is that pertains to a man and what is that pertains to a woman? Remember we explained already that what Moses was trying to teach or to curb was trying to curb homosexuality. Yeah, so if you're going to keep that law, you must also keep the fact that a man must not shave his beard. Yeah, you are asked in scriptures, Leviticus, yeah, you are asked not to carve your hair. Ah, it's in the Bible. Yeah, he said, yeah, he's in the Bible. Yeah, so anybody that is fighting against women wearing trousers and carves his hair, he has offended in all. You know, Paul will tell us that the law speaketh to those that are under the law. Yeah, we don't now have the reality of God's fullness and we are still focused on the law. Hebrews 10 will show us that what the law having a shadow of that good thing to come. Now that Christ is come, we don't embrace shadows. Yeah, a man doesn't walk up to you and instead of you to give him a handshake, you are looking for the hand in the shadow. Yeah, it's not me, my guy, how far now? You say, wait to see. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we're trying to do an explicit teaching that will take us weeks to analyze. Our focus will be the baptism, communion. You know, we might end up going into feet washing, going into seat sewing, tithing. You know, all those things that makes it look as if they can't touch it. You know, it's easy for people to say that they have results, but results are not proofs that what you are doing is right. Yeah, you know, Pastor Shagun did a post today. If you've seen it on my WhatsApp, he said it's unfortunate that the means a lot of rich men get the way and means a lot of rich men get their money is what the church preaches against. But yet the church uses the people that have gotten their money in such a way as examples. Yeah, I just paraphrased that. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, so this requires proper exegesis in scriptures, looking at the word. You know, I said something. Go to Job chapter 42. You know, the entire book of Job can be summarized in three verses. You know, Job did not write the book of Job. I'm sure you know that. Yeah. Some allusions are given to Moses that wrote it, but clearly it wasn't Job that wrote it. We could see some of those things. But see something. Who in the Bible said God gives and God takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job, right? Yeah? You think that's some doctrine. You think that's some, you know, it's the easiest thing to quote when someone passes. Oh, God gives, God takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, but Job, look at how he summarized. Look at how Job 42 summarizes Job's personality. Look at Job 42 verse 1. Job chapter 42 verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholding from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? In fact, there's still some corrections to be made there. Therefore have I uttered, look at what he's saying in from verse 3. Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. He's saying that I've uttered and said things that I did not understand. Is that true? Is that what's there? Yeah? Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Look how the now says, here I beseech thee, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Look at verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearings of the ear, and but not my eyes see thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. What does that mean? He's, you know, a lot of Christians today, all their knowledge about God is what somebody has told them. All their knowledge about God is hearsay, hearsay, hearsay. I hear, I heard, I heard, I heard. Hearsay, 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 hearsay. Job, imagine after 42 chapters, you know, Job acknowledged that there's no evil in God. But at the beginning of Job, it looks like Job is emphatically stating that there's evil in God. Yeah, for there to be evil in God, and you say the devil is evil, even devil is named evil, has, okay, devil, evil, okay. So for you to say that there is evil in God and there's evil in the devil, it simply means that you can put God and the devil on a scale and collect like terms. So what you end up saying that God kills or God destroys or there's evil in God, you end up saying that God is evil, but not as evil as the devil. If you say God has killed before, and John 10:10 is telling you that the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I've come to give you life. You know, he goes for the sense, I am that good shepherd. Yeah? Who gives his life for the sheep? All that God has to offer mankind is life. So the moment you say God has killed before, you know, you are indirectly saying that God does the same thing devil does. Why don't I wake up tomorrow and start devil? Because after all, it looks, you know, when you steal and do corruption is the work of the devil, right? Yeah, that's not working in the spirit. Yeah. So if God and devil have something similar, something in common, why don't I just follow the devil and be wealthy here? Who has a message translation of Job? Yeah, if you have a message translation, just quickly read Job, that Job 42. Read the message translation of 5 and 6. Amplified message. What does Amplified 5 say? Job 42. Yeah, this is what version? Yeah, I have heard of you only by the hearing of the ear, but not my spiritual eye sees you. Yeah, therefore I loot my words and abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Look at verse 4. I have virtually said to you what you have said to me. Here I beseech you, and I will speak, and I will demand of you, and you declare to me. So you know, I want that message transition. Message, anybody? Internet message? Yeah? You have a message? Let me read it in the mic. Thank you. Message transition, chapter 4. Look at what it says. Look at, see Job. Job answered God, I am convinced you can do anything and everything. Calm down. Nothing and no one can upset your plans. Okay. You asked, who is this muddying the water? Ignorantly confusing the issue, second guessing my purposes. He said, I admit I was the one. I babbled on about things far beyond me. Made small talk about wonders way over my head. Is that clear? Are you following? You told me, listen, and let me do the talking. Let me ask the question. You give the answers. I admit, I was led by the rumors of you. Now, I have it all firsthand. From my own eyes and ears, I am sorry, forgive me. I will never do that again. I promise. I will never live on crust of hearsay, crumbs of rumor. So, Job can be summarized in Job 42, 6 verses. So if you read Job chapter 1 and any chapter 1, You will see a dual nature of God. God is biased. God has a dual nature. Look at it. It looks like a good quote now. God gives and God takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah? God gives and God takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But Job is saying, I have harbored in my heart things too heavy for my head to comprehend. I have harbored in my heart things. He says, I repent now. Because all I have known about you are from crumbs of rumor. Crumbs of rumors. Hearsay. Yeah? That's why as believers, we don't live a life of hearsay. We don't live a life of, you know, we don't try to explain doctrine. I explain doctrine because that's what your pastor said. Yeah. So when they ask you, explain Psalm 23 verse 1, you say, my pastor said that it is this way. No. Yeah. You have to be careful so you don't fall into the ditch of hearsay and end there. Are we together? Okay. Yeah. You can do a series on the book of Job, but we know the end. Yeah. It's the same thing as Noah's Ark. Yeah, we're going to do that on a Sunday, investigating Noah's Ark. What really happened in Noah's Ark? Was it God that sent the flood? Why is God sending the flood? Yeah, what does the ark typify? What was the message in Noah's story? Was Moses there when it happened to Noah? Yeah, we're going to investigate all of that. It's all in scriptures. Thing is explaining scriptures. No, James will tell us in James chapter 1, he says, be quick to hear and slow to speak. Do not err, my fellow brethren, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, with whom there is no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. Hallelujah. Yeah. So now, write this down, you know, whatever practices we do, either in the name of the Lord, that definitely doesn't add to our faith life, whatever practices we do, whether or not in the name of the Lord as believers, that doesn't add to our faith life, has the ability to thwart our appreciation of what Christ has done. Whatever practices or traditions we do, either in the name or not in the name of the Lord Jesus or in the name of God, yeah, and we doesn't add to our faith life, has a probability to thwart our appreciation of what the work of Christ. Oh, glory to God. Christ. All the shadows have been done away with in Christ. We see Christ and Him alone. We don't hold ourselves and put ourselves and holding on to shadows. Yeah, for shadows are not the substance. Has a probability of thwarting our appreciation of Christ's work. You know, it's something that people kept doing. You know, there's some practices that people kept doing even after Jesus died and rose again. Yeah, there's some practices that people kept doing. But see Paul's admonition in Galatians 5. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Whatever practice we do in the name or not in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and does it add to our faith life, has a probability of thwarting our appreciation of the work of Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Look at Galatians 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Look at verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Did you see that? Look at it again. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Look at verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Look at verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. Look at it. Circumcision. What is Paul saying? Circumcision has no effect on you as a believer. Circumcision has no effect on the work of Christ that he has done for you as a believer. He now says, if a man that's circumcised, that does circumcision, there is nothing, how did he say it? No profit. What did he say there? Verse 2. Christ shall profit you nothing. That means there is no profit in circumcision. Yeah, look at this. Is circumcision once? How many times did he circumcise me? Once, but yeah, and he's saying that once, Christ shall profit you nothing with that. There's no profitability in that. Was Passover once? Okay, yes and no. We're getting there. Yeah, the feast of Passover, was it once?
No.
Yeah, the feast wasn't once. That means the feast was a tradition or a custom that was done yearly. If one cannot make an impact, how do you think the one that was done yearly will make an impact? Okay, think about it this way. Which of them is easier actually to believe? That you are saved when you believed, you are saved when you believe the gospel once and forever, or you are saved but you need to keep confessing your sin every morning? Which of them is easier? Yeah, so the second one. No. Oh, you mean the second one from behind? The first one is that, look at, to the human thinking, you know, there's something called the wisdom of God and wisdom of men. Which of them in the real sense, let's just be truthful, which of them is easier to even believe or to preach? Don't think about the hardness of men's heart. Yeah, that I walk up to you as an unbeliever and I tell you that, oh, once you believe, you are saved forever. Yeah, and he walks up to you and says, once you believe, you have to keep keeping your salvation by every morning, keep praying and rededicating your life to Christ. Which of them will you actually, okay, this is what I mean. Which of them do you think is more taxful? The second one. Yeah, so circumcision is done once. So that means a man can be given birth to and he's circumcised and that's just the end of it forever. He has no business with it again. Just once. Passover is something you do every year. Paul is saying that once that you will do and forget, Christ profits nothing. There's nothing profitable from that. Are we together? Now imagine the every week. You know, I've made a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ to be taking communion every day of my life. You have money. Short bread is $7.50 now. We don't know the new price after this barrel drop. See something? Look at it. If God is standing here now and you are worshiping his shadow, what are you doing? You are insulting him, okay? Yes, but there's a common word we don't know. Okay, there's a common word you usually use. Beautiful idolatry. What is don't go too far. What is idolatry? So if God is standing in front of you, you are seeing the substance. No. You are not looking for a shadow. You see, it is that mindset that made you we grew up learning that. Moses did not see, some people that have gone a little advanced in knowledge. Moses did not see the back. Moses did not see God, but he saw his back. So you think God just asked Moses, "Yeah, kneel down." Moses not kneel down. You now say, "I can use your hand, cover your eye. Then I'll pass. You will not see me, but you will see my back." No, that's nursery school now. That has to be nursery school. It's not true. It's not true that we always close eyes. It's not only now I'm starting to propose. I want to give your babe a gift. Close eye, I want to surprise you. But in the real sense, that close eye started from children. Even like this, they're looking at you. You now use them and do magic. You now do your two hands. You now say, this one will be longer than this one. You not like this. We need to do magic. So when you see worshiping idolatry means esteeming something over. You know, how do I say this now without saying it? Okay, I might have more commitment to say that later. Yeah, when we don't consider the context of any text, we would usually end up in contest. When we usually don't consider the context of any text, we usually end up in contest. What is the contest going to be about? We're going to be contesting with the real meaning or explanation of such text. Yeah? When we usually don't pay attention to the context of a text, we usually end up in contest. You know, do we agree that scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit? Yeah, 2 Timothy 3, right? Yeah. So imagine someone now says that. The Holy Spirit has a particular thing. The Holy Spirit interpreting to me in my own way. You know, for instance, lots of context. A lot of text we take out of context. You know when Paul was writing in Corinthians, it says all things are yours. Yeah, have you seen believers make that their confession? All things are mine. I walk in light. All things are mine. You know, what does all mean? All, how do you spell all? All is A double L, right? Is all equal to some? Is all equal to every? So if you say all, are you also saying every? If you say all, are you saying some? So if you say all things are yours, look at it. Imagine, look at it. When you say Holy Spirit interprets to me, Holy Spirit reveals to me certain things are not correct with degree of scriptures. If you buy a new car, Benz, let's say you buy Benz, and two of us are agreeing that Holy Spirit speaks to us and interprets scripture to us, and I come to you and say all things are mine. What will you say? Except is, yeah, so his best is not inclusive in all. See, look at it this way. Imagine you are married, and I just see you married a very beautiful young lady like this, one fresh, clean, fair, bubbling, Bible spirit tonguing lady, you know? And what did he say, Sister Esther? All right, glory to God. See? Yeah, so imagine you have that kind of lady. And I walk up to you and I'm just doing tongue interpretation. And I just say, Paul's careful, can kind of the boss, careful, Koshka, all things are mine. Okay? He said, come off it. He said, stop joking, sir. But if I say all things are mine, it simply includes your wife.
Oh, wow. You're not doing well.
Hallelujah. Yeah, so we don't read scriptures out of context. See, 10,000 cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to the Lord. No, think well. Think well. Think well. Don't you think that's just showing the estimation of God's ability to save? A man that, if your father has 10,000 cows on 10,000 hills, for instance, as a son, will you ever not be satisfied? So, what do you think would be his provision that is surplus? Eternal satisfaction now. Okay, we're not going to do that today. We're not going to do that today. Yeah, but now the truth remains this. Not everything on earth is for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So imagine an unbeliever is asking us a question. Explain John chapter 3 verse 3. Explain John chapter 3 verse 3. I thought us go for evangelism. Imagine, we go for evangelism. You now say, let me explain the way my Holy Spirit taught me. He now says his own. Me too, I now say my own. Who do you expect him to listen to? Imagine if we had three different opinions. Who should he listen to? Or you just ask, which of you have raised the dead before? None of you are. You will not step it down. How many of you have opened deaf ears? None of you are. How many of you have healed headache? None of you are. Okay, Kata. Hallelujah. Scriptures have one meaning. As believers, we are to discover what those meanings mean or what those meanings are. Scriptures have a meaning. They have specific meanings. As believers, we are to discover what they are. Yeah, we will see that so much emphasis was placed on teaching the truth of God's word. Yeah, scriptures have definite explanations. We as believers are to discover what those explanations are, not to impose our thoughts on them. Yeah, that's a good way to end that. We are not to impose what we think on them. We're not to impose our thought pattern on them. You know, I always say something. Miracles and results are never proofs that you are properly interpreting scriptures. Yeah? Miracles, results are never proofs that you are properly interpreting scriptures. Miracles, results are never proofs. No, think about it this way. Who did Jesus say is the greatest prophet of all time? Yeah, yeah. Who we call John the Baptist. Yeah. How many miracles did John the Baptist perform? Ah, okay. John 10. Go to John 10. Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. The book of John chapter 10, just before the book of Acts. John chapter 10, verse 37. Look at what John 37 says. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. Look at verse 42. And went again away again beyond Jordan into the place where John the first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle. Is that your Bible? Is that your Bible? Look at verse 41 again. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him. Is it in your Bible that John performed no miracle? Look at Matthew 3. Look at Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Listen to what he says there. You know, now we are starting entering the technicalities of what we are trying to explain. Yeah, so we are going to observe what carefully. In those days came John the Baptist baptizing in the wilderness of Judea. Is that what's in your Bible? 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 In those days came John the Baptist. You're going to need to pay attention going forward, yeah? In those days came John the Baptist baptizing in the wilderness of Judea. Okay. Your own says what? Okay, yeah. So let's read that again. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. What was he preaching? Verse 2, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he, look at it, that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. What did the prophecy say about John the Baptist? Prepare? Okay, go to Isaiah 40. Put your hands in Matthew 3. Don't close Matthew 3. Go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. That's where that prophecy was, where you can see Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all our sins. Verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Who was Isaiah speaking about? Who was Isaiah speaking about? John, yeah? Was there anything? Now, what did he say, John? What did he say? Look at it. The voice of him that cried in the wilderness. Whose voice is that? Whose voice is that? Where was his voice crying? From in the where? His voice was crying. Does it mean he was crying? Yeah? How do we know he wasn't crying? Matthew 2 shows us he was saying. Yeah? So, a prophecy was that a voice crying. That to tell you that when you see that voice crying, think about the person that is going to make straight a path. Go back to Matthew 3. Matthew 3. For this is he that has spoken of by the prophet. That means this is the person that prophet Isaiah spoke about. Are we together? This is the person that prophet Isaiah spoke about. What did prophet Isaiah say? The voice of one crying in the wilderness. What was his voice crying? Prepare ye the way. Look at verse 4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Hallelujah. Yeah, I don't think that was a rich prophet. Look at Luke 7. Look at the book of Luke. Yeah, so keep your thinking caps on. We're going to see lots of scripture. Luke 7, 28. Remember where we started from was John did no miracle. Is that true? Is that where we started from? The next verse we went to, there was a prophecy about John. Is that true? Was that true? Yeah. Look at Luke 7, verse 28. Look at verse 27. This is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Who was speaking there? Who do you think was speaking there? Jesus, right? So, this is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messengers before thy face." Look at verse 28. "For I say unto you," who is saying unto you now? The same Jesus, right? Yeah? "Among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, who did no miracle." Is that a good way to attach the scriptures? Is that a good way to attach the scriptures? Yeah, read it again. Luke 7, 28. "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, who did no miracle." Did John perform miracles? Do we have record of miracles that John performed? But who called John greater than all the women born? That is to say, on the scale of Christ, on the scale of Jesus Christ, he put John the Baptist higher than a man that called down fire to kill men. It means that on the scale of Christ, Jesus put John the Baptist higher than Moses that led millions of people through the wilderness. It means that on the scale of Christ, John the Baptist was higher than everybody backwards. But take note, he did no miracle. Listen, friends, you don't know a man of God by the miracles he does. Yeah? Yeah? You don't know a man of God by the accuracy of his word of knowledge. You don't also know a man of God by his operation in the nine gifts of the Spirit. That's why we call him a man of God. Yeah, we've done a teaching on how Jesus is God. That means God validated John the Baptist, who did no miracle. Think about it. God validated John the Baptist, who did no miracle. Now, it will interest you to know that there was no prophecy about John being a Baptist. What did Isaiah 40 show us? The voice. That is a preaching. The voice. Did he say the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, "Who will baptize people with water?" Oh, okay. We'll see some other scriptures about that. Look at the book of Matthew 11, 11. Matthew 11, 11. Matthew 7, 7. Yeah? Look at Matthew 11, 11. "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, that had not risen, they had not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding that he is the least in the kingdom of heaven, is greater than he." What do you think Jesus is teaching? Teaching about who? The believer, right? Yeah? Yeah? There is none, the least. He's talking about how, so he's not really talking about, he's not putting a pedigree or degrees in the resurrection reality. He's not saying that there's a least and there's a higher resurrection reality. Yeah, you know, Jesus used lots of figures of speech when saying lots of things. So he's saying that an average believer, John, who, look at it though. Prophets performed and did a lot for years. John came. Jesus qualified and validated John over all the prophets and the thousands of years behind. You are at John's time now. Jesus is now speaking from John's time. Oh, there is none that there is. He says the least in the work I will do. Remember, when you say kingdom of God, what are you thinking about? Resurrection reality. Yeah? Seek ye first the kingdom of God means what? Desire that resurrection reality. Yeah? So, there is none in the resurrection reality that John is higher than. That is to say, either, look at it though. Remember, John's qualification and validation was on the basis of no miracle. Simply means that a man that believes the gospel, miracle or no miracle, is higher than John and all the prophets before John. That is to say, even if John's validation was accurate, beautiful, yeah, he preached, he pointed to Christ, he revealed Christ to them, simply means that the man in Christ, that believer, should be careful of the doctrine he takes from John. Great, greater, greatest. Great, Moses, is that true? Isaiah, is that true? Elijah, is that true? Greater, John the Baptist, is that true? Yeah, who is greatest? You and I. Glory to God. Glory to God. There is no greater prophet than John who did no miracle. But today, how do we know great prophets? Yeah, yeah. I see a yellow building with a yellow bucket and a yellow cap. Are those things wrong? No, but do not be blinded by the results or the miraculous or supernatural that men do. What God holds in high esteem. Look at it, think about it. Do we have record of healings that Jesus did during his 40 days teaching? Do we have a record of a healing Jesus did during his 40 days teaching? Are we safe to say that Jesus taught for 40 days? Look at it this way. You see, that you do miracles is not a proof that the Holy Ghost is in you. When did Peter get born again? Yeah, on Resurrection Day. Did Peter perform miracles before Jesus died? Did all the disciples cast out demons before Jesus died? That means men could cast out demons without the Holy Spirit. They came back in Luke chapter 10, and they said, oh, we cast it down in your authority. Remember? Yeah, they could borrow that authority. Yeah, but now we come in that authority. Yeah, you see that? Yeah, so they could borrow that authority and they casted out demons. They healed sick people. They cured diseases. So that should tell you, we don't validate your ministry by the miracles and things you do. As a gospel, we don't want to build a church on showbiz. How did God validate John's ministry? A man who revealed Jesus without a miracle. Are we thinking? Yeah, so that a man on his billboard and everything, 20 deaf ears open per second, 500 million dead souls have risen. No. What are you after? What is his voice crying? What voice can you hear from his crying? Is it that is Christ and him alone crucified and glorified? Or it is I. No. Babalawos do miracles. Oh, in case you didn't know, Babalawos do, they've done, they do, and they will still do. Without the Holy Spirit in them. Hallelujah. So, that a man has 5 million people is healing every day, and he comes out on a Sunday and say God asks him to do baptism. Is it because of the 5 million people he has healed that we should accept what he's saying? No. Because we can pick a man who has not healed one person, even nose block he has not healed in his life, but he's preaching only Christ and him glorifying. But remember, there is power in that message. Yeah? There is power in that. If you have seen a tweet I did recently, a Facebook post I did recently about the guy that was talking about the Holy Spirit was, the Holy Spirit is that spirit that used to, in the Old Testament, used to move round about. You know, you've watched so much Nollywood, that be Bollywood. The Holy Spirit at the temple, you'll be guarding the door, you know, Devorah cannot come, nothing can come. The Holy Spirit was very guiding in the temple. But now you are the temple of the living God. Yeah, you are the temple of the living God. So the Holy Spirit is no more guiding around the temple, but it's inside the temple, guiding you from inside the temple. Yeah? And he was talking about how I cannot be sick. Have you seen me like that? Yeah? Because of the work of Christ, I can never be sick. Be careful. Yes, you can never be spiritually sick. Are we together? Are we together? The healing that Christ gave to mankind is that spiritual healing. As sheep that have been led astray, you are now returned back to the bishop and shepherds of your soul. That is the healing. So, did Christ come to die to rescue us from healing, poverty, and spiritual death? Yes. But that healing, that poverty, they are all spiritual. Are we together? You know, and I said something. By the work of resurrection, you are now indwelled by the Holy Spirit. It means that you are full of power. It means that even if you get sick, you can get yourself healed. Glory to God. Literally, I say, I'm full of God. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of power. There is no fear in me. Yeah? So, nowadays, look at it. John the Baptist was in the wilderness. What was he eating? Honeycomb. Locust. You know what locust is? Eh? Is it like esusu? You know that esusu? You know esusu? Esusu is that esusu. Yeah? Is the Greek word for those flies that are always attracted. Why are you laughing? That are always attracted to light during rainy season. Yes. All you need to do is to go and put water. Exactly. They all enter, you remove the feathers and fry it. Oh glory, and pour some salt. Oh glory, glory, glory. That is what John the Baptist was eating. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But today, how do we know? Look at it. Did John reveal Christ or not? Did he do miracles? Did he have a mansion? Did he have Omar Jet? Did he have all those things? But I didn't want to know a prophet today. The one that walks and 10 people go ahead of him, 10 people behind him. Is it paining you? Yeah, come back again. Is it to see them you sign? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John the Baptist's life is instructive to the believer. That man's life is instructive to the believer. You see, from scriptures, we see so many emphasis on teaching in scriptures. Teaching, teaching, teaching. Jesus resurrected, he taught. Before Jesus died, he taught. When he died and resurrected, he taught. When he was healing, he taught. You know, there was not a single miracle that Jesus performed that was not pointing to the miracle. All miracles point to that miracle, the miracle of what? Resurrection. That's why you see, the miracles Jesus did, to understand the real things he was saying, listen to his words. That will help us when treating communion. When dealing with communion, what you should look at in what Jesus did or said, or rather, what Jesus did is what he said. Are we still following? Are we learning something this evening? So now, emphasis placed on scriptures. Jesus taught from where? For 40 days, what was Jesus teaching from? Scriptures, right? Yeah? Now, think about it. How do you think the apostles were able to write their epistles? It is that they were taught. A lot of them attended the 40 days teaching. Now, beautiful. It is important to know that, you know, I said something. It's important to know that the prophecies that were given about John the Baptist did not speak about him and water. See, I'm not against using water. Eda Oshun River. Or Harcourt River. Or Jabi Lake. Yeah, after all, that's where I entered. Yeah, they put me inside Jabi Lake. Yeah, that's where I was baptized. Yeah, I've entered water before. I'm not against using water. Yeah? I don't have issue with water. But remember, the best that water does to you is that you bathed openly. Is it the word I use, bathed? Yeah, you showered openly. So what you simply did was that you still able to go inside your bedroom to go and put on shower. You came inside a river. You know, it's so interesting that you know, I was telling you about glory to God. Hallelujah. All we are going to be doing for the next 3 months is just to explain God's word in simplicity. There is nothing we try to prove or we prove from scriptures that we don't use scriptures to emphasize. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. What does scripture emphasize about? What is scripture loud about? You know, as believers, we have to be loud on where the epistles are loud. I wish that Paul and Peter gave all their spiritual sons and the churches, the letters they wrote to the churches, gave them an instruction to always continue baptism. But in this study, we will realize that even Paul himself put a disclaimer on baptism. Mew. I didn't baptize any other person than this. And look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. This is the third time I am coming to you. Yeah? In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be. Yeah? Who do you think Paul was quoting? Moses said the same thing. You can write that down. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. This is the thought that I come to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time. And being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. Yeah? So, we don't use a verse or a mention of a particular practice, yeah, a mention once to judge a matter. We don't build doctrine from something that was just mentioned maybe in passing or once, yeah. We're going to explain that properly in our subsequent teachings. Now, there are some doctrines that were, there are some things that were mentioned once, but where they were mentioned in, they were not mentioned in passing. They were emphatically explained. Yeah, but Paul is saying the same thing that Moses said, a word is established what? In the what? Mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, remember, we can go through this. We did that on Sunday. The epistles are for clarity and explanations of the things that were written before. Yeah, the Genesis to Malachi, we call them the Old Testament books. Yeah, Matthew to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we call them the four Gospels, the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life. We see the book of Acts as historical documents. Yeah, remember the epistles, we said they are for clarity. So we gain clarity and explanation and full revelation from the epistles. So as believers, we establish doctrine from the books of where? Of the epistles. Is that true? We establish doctrine. So whatever we should believe on, whatever we should stand on, we should find it where? In the epistles. Anything not well taught in the epistles can be dangerous to have a stand on. Anything not well taught in the epistles can be dangerous to have a stand on. Yeah, that's one of the most important things we consider when dealing with praise. Praise is through the lens of Christ. Now, let's go further. In the Bible, the word baptize, B-A-P-T-I-Z-E, the word baptize was used 81 times. So, I will need you to actually follow right now. 90% of these 81 times refers to one person, John. 81 times, the word baptize. Yeah, you have to now be careful with the use of words here. Baptize, used 81 times, 90% of this 81 times. Yeah, so we can say 90% can be about 70, early 70, maybe 70, 71 times. Yeah. So even if they were not talking about John, it was mentioned somewhere around it. Yeah, 90% of those times. In the four Gospels, we are breaking it down now. In the four Gospels, the word baptized was used 48 times. What are the four Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the four Gospels, the word baptized was used 48 times. In the book of Acts, it was used 21 times. In the book of Romans, it was used 2 times. Both of them were used in Romans chapter 6. You can go back home to go and confirm all of this and just read through. four Gospels, baptized was used 48 times, Acts 21 times, Romans twice, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's the largest concentration of the word baptized in the epistles. 1 Corinthians 1 was used 6 times. Go to 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is more like where we are going to end. Verse 13. How many times in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? 6 times, right? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Yeah? Can we call that a rhetorical question? Okay, so continue. I thank God that I baptized none of you. Who is writing the book of Corinthians? What is he saying in verse 14? Let's shoot together. 1, 2, 3, go. Crispus and... Now, did Paul baptize? Yes. Who were the people he baptized? And Gaius. Look at what he says in... So, now, look at it though. Who said, I thank my Lord that I pray in tongues more than ye all? So, can we put the degree of importance he put on I thank my Lord that I pray in tongues more than you all on the same level with I thank God I baptized none of you except? Yeah, are they almost on the same level? So, the same Paul can really say that I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than you all. Yeah, take the same weight of praying in tongues to the I thank my God that I baptized none of you. Can you say Paul was putting a disclaimer on his ministry? Can you say that Paul was putting a disclaimer on his ministry? Say, hey, people, hey, see. Let me not lie to you. I baptized Crispus and Gaius. But I thank God I baptized no other. Why? Look at verse 14. Look at verse 15, sorry. Lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. Look at verse 16. And I baptized also the house of Stephanus. So, can we see three people baptized there? Yeah. Crispus, number two. And the last one, what? Stephanus, right? Look at what Paul says in verse 16. Besides this, I know not whether I baptized any other. Why? Look at verse 17. Is in your Bible verse 17? Does the chapter 1 get to verse 17? Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. Why was Paul trying to put a disclaimer that he did not baptize? Nobody sent him to baptize. Nobody sent Paul to baptize. Now, did Paul baptize? Can we say that was the early part of his ministry? Can we say he was growing in knowledge? Where do we see the documentation of his growth in knowledge? Book of Acts. That is why we don't build doctrine from the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts gives us a review or historical review on the growth of the church. So there were certain things they did that they outgrew, coming into full epignosis, comprehensive understanding of Christ. If Paul says, I only baptized three. Now, who was responsible for the birth of the church in Corinth? Paul. Yeah. Paul had met who? Aquila and Priscilla. And he abode in Corinthians for many years. 3 years. Yeah, we'll see that in Acts. So, that should tell you that in the city of Corinth, he baptized some people. For him to mention Crispus, Gaius, and Stephanus, does that mean that those names were in the church in Corinth? That means the people he baptized were in which church? Corinth. Is he writing to the Corinth now? Yes. What is he writing to them? I've grown in knowledge. I thank my Lord Jesus Christ that I didn't baptize any other. But this, and this. They might have asked him, why are you putting in this claim? It's not just water. Christ did not send me to baptize anyone. That is to say, when Jesus now said, Matthew 28, go ye therefore into the world, teaching and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It means we should go back there to see what was Jesus saying about baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But we've seen Paul especially tell us, oh boy, Christ did not send. That should tell you that you are proud to say that God told you personally to do baptism right now. You've exalted yourself over Paul. What Paul couldn't hear, you heard clearly. You know, some people say something, I don't know the gravity of what they are saying. Did Jesus authorize Peter to preach the gospel? Was Peter, remember Jesus put his attention so much on Peter? Devil would desire to sweep you all, but I'll make you yell. Yeah. Was Peter in his 40-day seminar teaching? Did Peter validate Paul? 2 Peter 3. Yeah? An account that lots of our Lord is salvation, as our beloved brother Paul has written in all his epistles. So Peter validated Paul. That should tell you that it will mean that the things Peter learned in 40-day seminar, when he read Paul's writing, he didn't see a difference. That's the meaning. If he didn't see a difference, it will mean that the same way Christ had validated Peter, we can also see that Jesus validated Paul. Yeah? Let's even leave the story of on his way to Damascus and light fellow. Let's leave that one. Let's just look at the, you understand what I say? So Peter read all of Paul's epistles. So look at it. So Peter, that was also in the 40-day seminar, learned from Paul.
We are full and we carry.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Some have food but cannot eat. Some can eat but have no food. Yeah, think about it, about doctrine. Think about it in doctrine. Yeah, some have proper exegesis. They cannot feed from it. What was the instruction Jesus gave when he was leaving? Feed my sheep. Yeah, so we have some pastors that are shepherding over sheep and the sheep cannot eat from the shepherd. That song is now telling you some can eat. But they don't have a good shepherd to give them food. So we can now say together, we have food, we can eat. Glory be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lift your hands and say, I submit myself to discipleship. I submit myself to the doctrine of Christ. So that means Paul baptized people, but when he grew in knowledge and he saw that Christ did not send me, what I'm doing is a shadow. What did he do? He repented. I'm sure in Paul's mind he must have felt, Kyle, can I undo that thing? You know what it is to write? You know when letters were written in those days, they were read publicly to the church. You can imagine the hundreds or thousands that were there, and they read to him. I say, Agbalagba Paul. And what they are hearing from his letter is what? I thank God I baptized just three. That is what we call humility. If Paul was not humble enough to put a disclaimer on the wrong he did, we will not know it is wrong today. You see, humility is when the truth of God's word stares you at the face. And you submit whatever thing you've held on to, no matter who has said it. Paul had an option to have known that Christ did not send him to baptize. But he would not write it anywhere. But he wrote it as an open letter to the church in Corinth. The church, the people he baptized. Please forgive me. That means he did not say that. He did not try to say, emoji doesn't make mistake. Emoji knows it all. No. If Paul had not done that, we wouldn't have known today. It would have been a debate on what baptism is. Hallelujah. So, before we go today, let's just see. That word there, baptizing, was not always... Anytime you think of... You see, one of the things that's put us in this situation is this. When you think of baptize, don't always think water. What I'm saying to you, please hold on to this statement for the next 4 weeks and beyond. When you hear baptize, don't always think water. I think you should write that down in your notes. And if possible, circle it. It will come in handy as we go further. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:2. That same book we're writing. Not every time you see baptized, speaks of water. Are we in 1 Corinthians? Okay, yeah, let me allow you to write that. 1 Corinthians 10:2. Are we in 1 Corinthians 10:2? Let's see verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Is that your father? Eh? Were those your fathers? The fathers that, did your father pass through sea? Were they your fathers? Who was Paul writing to? Their father. Yeah? So, don't personalize what he was writing to them. Because I don't think your father went through the sea. Oh, okay. So, brethren, I say unto you, don't be ignorant. How that our fathers, when you say our, is not you. Yeah? How their fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Look at verse 2. And they were all what? Unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. How do you think water was involved in that verse? Moses put his stomach. They were baptized into him. How do you think water was involved in that verse? So, when you see baptized unto Moses, what do you think he's speaking about? Eh? Okay, yes. They follow Moses, yeah? Yeah? Can we say indoctrinated into Moses' law? Can you see? We just used baptized now. So, it's not every time you see baptized that you are taking... No. See, put baptized in this part of your head and put water in this part. What we'll do is that we'll maintain using baptized at this side, but we'll trash water. That's the essence of this teaching. Yeah? We'll maintain using that word baptized, but we'll trash water. Look at verse 3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? Look at verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock. Did Moses hit the rock? The water come out from the rock? Did they drink from the rock? What was the rock pointing to? All scriptures point to salvation. So, did they drink water from the rock? What was the rock pointing to? Look at it. They drank of that spiritual rock and that followed them. And the rock was who? The rock was who? So, was there a water that came out from the rock? What is that? What typology is that? Christ. What other verse do you think you can link with that? John 7:39. And he stood up and stared and said, is there anyone that is thirsty? Let him come to me and drink. For I am that rock of ages. Yeah? That will give a supply of water. And he that drinks of that water can never thirst. You see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15:29. Verse 29. Are we there? Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? Look at verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subdued unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? Is that talking about water? Is that okay about water? Is that okay about water? Okay, look at it again. If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? Yeah, so can you see that word there, baptized, was used how many times there? It was used twice, right? Look at Galatians 3:27. Galatians 3:27. Galatians 3:27. Look at Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen. Look at verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. How many of you in this room have had faith in Christ Jesus? Yeah, let me see your hands. You've had faith in Christ Jesus, right? Yeah, so can we call you children of God? Yeah, so you are a child of God. Is that true? Now, a child of God, what does verse 27 say about you? As many of you that have had faith in Christ Jesus, you have been baptized into Christ. Please, where did they use water to baptize you inside Christ? Okay, in case you don't understand it, look at it again. He says, and you have put on, when did you put on Christ? Was it literal or figurative? Was that literal or figurative? Are you wearing Christ as suit now? So, can you see? Does that do water? See, why do you think Paul, when he was talking about circumcision, you know Galatians 3, says, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Having begun in the spirit, you now want to what? Continue in the flesh, right? Yeah, in the flesh. What do you think he was correcting? Remember verse 5, chapter 5, now where we read earlier on, he says circumcision, a man that goes through circumcision, there's no profit of Christ on him. Yeah? You see, in Bible study, we need to pay details, pay deliberate attention to details. We have seen two baptized now. Are they talking about water? So that means when we go back to Matthew 28, go back to Matthew 28, go back to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Yeah, which we would explain later on in the decision. But look at what Matthew 28 says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven as in earth. Yeah. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Have we clear that it's not every time baptized or baptized is used that has to do water? So can we confidently say that Jesus could not have been talking about water? Why can we confidently say that? Because Paul said Jesus did not send him. That means we should go and look for the places where Jesus would have mentioned baptize and see what he really meant. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son. What will baptizing mean? Teaching. Look at verse 20. We know we're going to explain this further. What does verse 20 say? Does your version say teaching and baptizing them to observe all that I've commanded you? Is that what your version says? What does your verse 19 say? So verse 19 was teaching mentioned in verse 19. Check your Bible. Was teach mentioned in verse 19? Yeah. Was baptizing mentioned in verse 19? Was baptizing mentioned in verse 20? Was teaching mentioned in verse 20? Where should you put your attention? On the teaching. Look at Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. No pressure. We have a long way to cover. Yeah. Remember, what Matthew wrote in Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20 is what Mark wrote in Mark 16. And he said unto them, go ye therefore into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What does verse 16 now say? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So that he that believeth, have we established from Matthew 28 that what Jesus was talking about the baptism was about teaching? Yeah, is that true? Is that true? Are we following here? So what will that and in verse 16 be? Can we read verse 16 as he that believeth, that is baptized into the teaching, is saved? So how does a man, okay, let me ask this very tricky question that we answer going. Did Jesus ask people to go and baptize? Did Jesus ask people to go and baptize? Sister Esther, did Jesus ask people to go and baptize? Did Jesus ask people to go and baptize? Did Jesus ask people to go and baptize? Be confident now. Did Jesus ask people? Okay, yes. Did he say they should go and baptize with water? What were they to baptize with? Beautiful. So, did Jesus ask anyone to baptize? Yes. Did Jesus ask anyone to baptize with water? No. Did Jesus ask anybody to baptize? Yes. What were they to baptize with? By teaching. Now, we've seen from today that what? The first word we looked at today was baptize. Next week, we're going to look at baptism. Yeah? There are two different words. we saw that there was not every time they used baptized that water had to be mentioned. When Paul was writing about God asked me not to baptize anyone, was he writing about water? When Paul said that God asked me not to baptize anyone, was he writing about water? When we see that the people, the fathers of the Israelite fathers and the forefathers and all of them were baptized unto Moses, was he talking about water? When he talks about a man that has believed the gospel and has faith and is baptized unto Jesus, into Jesus, and has put on Christ, is that talking about water? So have we cleared the beginning stage of baptism? Are we together? Beautiful. Have a beautiful evening.